From the hayfields of Madison County, Florida, to the beaches of Japan, Clay Sapp leaves his mark wherever he goes.
Clay's mark can be characterized by the smell of Zaxby's chicken, the sounds of 90s R&B ballads, or, of course, his lyrical genius.
But Clay's mark goes much deeper than that. He is always there to lend a listening ear, never fails to help a friend in need, is consistently optimistic, and is one of the most compassionate people that we know. Clay takes a genuine interest in others and truly values each relationship that he makes.
We want to express our thanks to each and every one of you for being such gracious hosts to our friend this year. Your support and love has meant the world to not only Clay, but to his friends and family back home.
It takes a special person to serve so selflessly for an entire year with such an unfailing commitment to success, but Clay has proven time and time again that he is the perfect man for the job. We're so happy to know that National FFA and its members have been blessed by knowing our best friend. But Clay, we can't wait to have you home soon.
It is our pleasure to introduce to you your National FFA President, Clay Sapp, as he delivers his retiring address entitled, My Own Little World.
Take a step into my own little world, back to a summer day in the Sapp household when I was about 16. If my siblings and I weren't baling hay with my dad, we would lazily wake up with a list of chores to complete before we could watch TV. Now sure, I get it. The thought of chores wouldn't get most people excited to jump out of bed, right? But for my sister and I, we were always pumped to begin the day's work because we were in competition. Not to see who could clean the toilet the fastest or record the record for the cleanest wet front porch, although I must admit, I was a teen tour champion. Oh no, we were in competition for something that siblings all across the country go to war over. The remote. We would use our best organizational skills, dust like we must, mop like it was going out of style, and run the 10-yard dash, all to get the remote. The sibling that won would bask in the glory of watching the TV show of their choice, while the other sibling had to watch along in disgust. This happened seemingly every day of summer, but there's one day that very clearly comes back to my memory. I woke up that morning feeling like P. Diddy. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, throw my speakers up. Yeah. Who's ever had one of those kind of mornings before? Apparently Kesha has as well. Either way, I glanced over and noticed that it was 9:30. This early start would put me in perfect position to get the remote that morning. Notice I said early and I said 9:30. All the adults in the room are laughing out there because they're like, 9:30, are you serious, kid? Really? We're a dairy farmer. Yeah, gotta give it up for dairy farmers. But either way, I realized that it was 9:30 and this early start would put me in perfect position to get the remote that morning. So I tiptoed past my sister's bedroom because obviously I don't wanna wake her. And I just took a glimpse in to make sure that she was still asleep. And when I looked into her room, I realized that she was already awake. This sent me into a panic, folks. I could not stomach another day of Seventh Heaven or Gilmore Girls reruns. I quickly went over to the chore list and saw that I would have to clean the cobwebs and sweep out the garage while she had to vacuum and clean the bathrooms. I quickly began my chores. I cleaned off the cobwebs in record time. And then I used my sweeping expertise. My mom's laughing somewhere over here to my left because she knows all about this said expertise. To get the garage looking spick and span as quickly as possible. And that's when my inner Usain Bolt Olympic sprinter kicked in, and folks, I jolted to go get the remote. As I entered the living room, it was almost as if my life went into slow motion. Has anyone ever had one of these moments before? As I turned the corner to the living room, my sister did the same. I spotted my prey like a panther ready to attack. I pounced. She did the same. And before I knew what had happened, she held the remote clenched in her hands, and I would have to suffer through another day of ABC Family reruns. Now the truth, for me, Clay Sapp, National FFA President, and for most of us, is that we are willing to go the extra mile to receive personal recognition or achieve a personal goal, like getting that remote. But we rarely consider helping someone else achieve theirs. We get stuck in our own little world. We only think about the things that we desire. Like, I need that new Chevrolet truck. I need the latest pair of Nike shoes. I need the new iPhone XYZ QRS TUV, whatever the latest version is that they've come out with. They'll probably come out with one tomorrow. I. And because of the selfish culture that we live in, some of the world's most blessed people in terms of material possessions are some of the unhappiest. Meanwhile, billions of people around the world struggle to fulfill their most basic needs of food, shelter, and love. So here's a radical thought. What would our world be like if we chose not to focus on ourselves? What if we found more joy from serving others than spending stacks of cash? What problems could we solve if we chose to give more and think of ourselves less? Now, sure, I'm human, I get it. The thought of sacrificing personal success to help and elevate others seems like financial and career suicide. I understand. And in a society that values climbing the ladder of glitz, glamour, and titles, this is a very unpopular concept. Growing up in a family of six with two older brothers and a younger sister, I knew all about trying to compete and using my results to measure my success. My two older brothers were like Jimmy Neutrons on steroids. They were able to complete whatever work they were given with ease. Both of my brothers became high school valedictorian. My oldest brother, Will, was a tractor operations and livestock evaluation beast. And my brother, Blake, well, heck, he was practically the Peyton Manning of my hometown as the quarterback and captain of the state championship football team. And then there was me with a bowl cut and large ears, standing in their shadows and struggling to measure up. This fueled me in middle school and high school as I tried to accumulate as many titles and awards as I could possibly receive. Class president, varsity baseball player, highest grade point average in my class, district and sub-district officer in the FFA, all because I thought I needed a title to measure up. And by the time my sophomore year rolled around, I was finally on the way to checking off every box on my checklist to success. That is until one moment would change everything. On February 13th, 2008, I drove to school as the proud holder of a new Florida driver's license. I had recently gotten my brother's old 2001 Chevrolet truck with the whip antenna, and folks, I was on top of the world. That day began just like any other day, until we got to third period, Algebra 2 equations. We were working on equations that were about as exciting as watching white paint dry on the wall. Who's ever worked on equations about like that before? Right? All my folks out in the audience were like, you're right. I'm right there with you, man. I hate math. Preach. Yeah. However, unfortunately, I found that this is actually really vital to our success in the future, so we should probably work on that. Either way, as I was sitting in Algebra 2 working on equations, the principal came over to the loudspeaker, and he said, attention, students and teachers, we are now on code red. Our teacher told us that code red meant that there was a bomb threat. The principal went on to say, we will be searching all student vehicles, and we will be pulling students out of class one student at a time. I wasn't worried. I had nothing to hide. I had the best reputation in the business. The next week was the week of my local livestock show. One of my favorite weeks of the year. Who loves livestock shows out here? On Monday night, I showed a hog, and on Tuesday night, I showed a steer and a heifer. However, I had noticed that for much of Tuesday, my dad, who is my agriculture teacher and FFA advisor, had been missing. And this was unusual. The night of the show, on Tuesday night, he seemed to act distant and removed. And that was unlike him. But the words that he would share with me on the ride home would explain every action. As we got in the truck and we began to drive, he said, "Son, I was called in by the principal's office today because all of the vehicles at school were searched and yours was one of them." I nodded my head and I began to wonder in my mind, where exactly is this conversation going? But the words that he would share with me next would hit me like a ton of bricks and would shatter everything that I had ever known. He went on to say, "Clay, I was called in by Mr. Killingsworth today because there was a hunting knife found in your truck. And by district policy, this requires you to be expelled from school." Expelled from school. The next few days were some of the toughest that I've faced. As I walked around my home, the first day that school started back after the expulsion, I saw pictures, trophies, and awards. And while they were beautiful sitting there, they did little to take away the sting of losing every piece of the successful front that I had built. You see, in high school, I'd spent all of my time trying to accumulate titles and awards, and not once did it ever occur to me that I needed to help or serve others. It took losing every piece of every opportunity that I had in front of me to realize that serving me isn't enough. We can spend our entire lives trying to achieve the things that we want and desire only to realize that once we have them, we don't want them anymore. Cars, clothes, awards change and fade. But the impact of choosing to serve someone else and changing their life for the better is something that never fades. For many of us, we've set huge goals. Maybe we've decided that we want to get into vet school, or we want to win a state or national career development event. Evaluate your reasons for setting those goals. For most of us, we know that our goals will allow us to serve others through the knowledge and skills that we've learned. But ask yourself, if all of the titles and awards were wiped away, would I be happy with the life that I've lived? And would I be happy with the legacy that I've left behind? I had to ask myself these very tough questions on the days after the expulsion. And I did not like the answers that I heard back. Luckily, I was allowed to re-enroll in school and I was able to graduate. But the larger blessing is that I had a wake-up call. Strip away the titles, strip away the awards, strip away the accolades and selfish desires. Are you happy with where you're at in life? Are you happy with where you're headed? A life focused on I is unfulfilling. One person who truly understands this concept is my mama. That's right, let's give it up for my mama. My mom is an advanced registered nurse practitioner. And through her line of work, she has to see some pretty tough things. But she also gets to see some pretty awesome things. And depending on the craziness of the day, she might see both in a matter of minutes. One example of the challenge of her job is a case that involved a woman named Linda. My mom had cared for Linda for a few years as a patient, and they had developed quite a relationship to the point that Linda had shared with my mom about the birth of her newborn daughter. This made it extremely difficult. When my mom found out that she would have to let Linda know that Linda had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Now, sure, this would have been difficult for any one family or person to deal with. But it was extremely difficult for Linda because she knew that the father of her daughter couldn't take care of the child. Side note, when most of us wake up in the mornings, we ask ourselves, and this is totally me included on this one, we ask ourselves questions like, what can I do for me? What can I do with my time at school, at work, to help me be more successful? What can I buy for myself at lunch or dinner? What can I do for me? But my mama, she is a very special lady. She's the kind of person that wakes up in the mornings and she asks herself the question, what can I do for others? What can I do for my family? What can I do for my patients? What can I do for my church? Linda knew this about my mother. And so the next time that she came in for an appointment, knowing that she only had a few more months to live, started off a conversation something like this. Miss Sapp, I need you to do something for me. And my mom, being the same person that she is, asking the same question with the same attitude, sat across the desk and said, Linda, what can I do for you? But you see, Linda asked a very tough question, one that would have challenged anyone. She said, Miss Sapp, I know that the father of my daughter can't take care of her, and you've always taken really great care of me. Will you take my daughter and raise her as your own? On that day, my mom had to ask a very tough question. But because she did, I have had the fortune of growing up with a beautiful younger sister for the past 16 years. We have had the fortune of fighting over the remote, of being able to play teacher and student, and I've had the fortune of watching my sister grow up to one day serve others in a future career, all because my mom asked the question, I'm sorry guys, all because my mom asked the question, what can I do for others? What question are you asking? What can I do for me, I, myself, or what can I do for others? Service is something that is preached over and over again in the FFA. For those of us who have been to Washington Leadership Conference, we know that our Washington Leadership Conference plan of action is called our Living to Serve plan. At our conferences, we talk about servant leadership time and time again. But our words and our challenges, they are worthless if we choose not to act. The challenges that face our generation are all around us every day. Families going hungry, couples stuck in poverty, friends turning to drugs and violence to dull the pain, nations at war, water growing scarce, religious tensions growing. Now is not the time for us to sit around and pretend like nothing is going wrong. When this blue jacket was created 80 years ago, it was meant to represent many things. But I can assure you that it was not meant to be a fashion statement or a piece of easily breathable outerwear. That's right. It wasn't meant to be worn in a way that says, look at me, look at what I've done. It wasn't meant to represent a championship earned or a title achieved. But it was meant to represent a generation of young leaders who see the needs in their community and choose to develop themselves in this blue jacket to meet those needs. FFA members who choose to become production agriculturalists because they know that one day they will be called on to feed the world. FFA members who choose to become agricultural educators because they know the value in shaping students' lives by giving them a perspective on agriculture and leadership. FFA members who choose to step up in their local communities because they know that we can better our local governments and show what it looks like to lead with morals and character. The cool thing about service is we don't have to have a title. We may only wear this blue corduroy jacket one year, or we may never wear it at all. But we can all serve. Learning to do, doing to learn. Earning to live, living to serve. We work hard in the classroom. We practice for CDEs. We develop proficiency award areas. Not to win championships, but ultimately to develop ourselves so that one day we can wholeheartedly serve others. It is so easy to get lost in this world, only reaching for the selfish things that we desire. It is lonely living in this world and in our own little world. But when we choose to open up our world in service to others, that is when we can find true joy. FFA friends, when we walk out of this hallway, it's time for us to get out of our own little world. It's time to serve.
Clay.
It's okay, we're crying together, Lindsay.
From your permigrant to your pleasant, encouraging self, you've been such a positive asset to our team this year. We appreciate your love of good sweet tea, the SEC, visiting any college football stadiums, wearing anything polo, and your incredible lyric writing abilities.
What?
Thank you. Thank you for being the faithful, caring person that has truly been the glue that brings this team together. Learn, grow, serve always. Brennan, Wiley, Jonelle, Kaylee, and Lindsay. Ladies and gentlemen, your National FFA President, Clay Sapp.